my presentation is about long-distance transportation workers. Of course, there are many types of long-distance transportation workers. My colleague Diane can qualify actually more long-distance than I can think of because they fly thousands of miles. But the people I'm talking about here are truck drivers. Those who go from one country to the other, or if they're within the country, they move from one city to the other transporting goods. These are very lonely people because other than the airplane crew who are always in touch with passengers, these people transport goods. And at most, there could be two people in the truck for a very long distance. They sometimes stay on the road for weeks without getting back to their families. Some of them take over 3 months without getting back to their families. So they are definitely very, very lonely. And in Africa, I don't know how the situation is. Maybe the time when I'm here, I will try to get in touch with the reality here and find out how the truckers here live. But in Africa, there are some of the most lowly paid employees. Most of the companies that operate transport in Africa are multinationals with a few private business people in Africa, but most of them are multinationals. You will hear of companies like Maersk, you will hear of companies like SDB Transami. Those are the companies that operate there. But like all other multinationals, they actually exploit the workers there. Most of the profits they make in Africa, most of these multinationals, are through paying very low wages. Now, a truck driver can be given a certain amount of money to take care of all the issues on the way. Usually this money is not sufficient for him to take care of all the expenses. So what happens in most cases is that these truck drivers have got ways of trying to make sure or to stretch the dollar to make sure that the little money they are given will take care of all the issues along the way. What they do sometimes is to drive for very long distances in order to cut the number of days on the road down. The other one is that they try to make their expenses along the way as low as possible. So there is one thing which they have tried to do as a way of cutting down on these costs is to ensure that they have some friends, girlfriends, along the way. Because what happens is that instead of going into a hotel, which they cannot afford, when they stop there, they can then go and stay with this woman. They will get food. They will get their shirts maybe washed, their clothes washed. They will get water for washing. They, on top of that, will get some entertainment. Now, this is not because they want to do that, but because it's one of the ways in which they can make ends meet with the little money that they are given. So, this is a situation which, to me, is forced upon them. The working conditions force them to do some of the things that they do. Now, we as their representatives, as the unions that represent them, are aware of these conditions. Studies have been done, and we know that these conditions exist. But when we go to talk to their employers, the employers don't want to listen. So, we thought one of the things that we can do for them is to look for ways and means of giving them information. Information that can protect them against acquiring the HIV, the virus. That is how we came in, started talking to them. We talked to them wherever we can get them. Because their workplace as drivers is not in an office somewhere, but along the corridor. So as they are running around trying to cut the costs, we try to get to them and talk to them. There is a lot of things that we have done, but I will only talk about some of the issues, like how we started. We had some projects that we have used, and we have been moving around until right now we are having a project, two projects actually. One of them is a USAID funded project which is going to run for 5 years, and this project aims at educating both the truck drivers and also the community at those truck stops where they stop. There is another one which is a World Bank funded project that is also aiming at looking at cross-border issues as these truck drivers move through the various countries within the region. So we did train some counselors as we're starting our work, who had to go out into the field. We did go to the truck stops. This is a community at a truck stop. This structure here was one of the bars in the at the truck stop where we met with these people. We did train some leaders, trade union leaders, in how to formulate and negotiate HIV/AIDS policies. This picture shows one ceremony where we are signing an agreement which had provisions for HIV/AIDS policies and programs with some of the employers, some of those heads of some multinationals I was talking about. Now, this is a resource center at the border between Kenya and Uganda. This is the one Ellie was saying she visited at one of the points. This here, there was training for trying to sensitize the truck drivers on their role in the reproductive health of their partners. This is an engender health supported program. These are truck stop communities. We had some groups which were sensitizing to carry out activities within there. Here they were practicing some songs and which they were supposed to perform to put messages across. What I can say is that through these activities, we have been able, as trade unions, to enhance our capacity to respond to the epidemic. we have also been able to increase the membership, because as my colleague Esther said, once you go out with these HIV/AIDS programs, these people become very interested into the activities, and you can easily recruit them into the union. However, the challenges we have, these are not all the challenges we have, but broadly speaking, we have seen that much as we go out and talk to these people, the change, the behavior change response is very, very slow. But this is mainly because of what I mentioned at the beginning. These people's sexual behavior is not patterned by their ignorance, but it is basically patterned by the need to cut down on costs. But definitely what I can say is that we have had quite some marked changes. Some of them have realized that they need to change their behavior. But the most maybe significant challenge we are having is that the employers of these people still don't see, they don't see the need for them to give information to these people. And since the trade unions are not, don't have enough financial resources, you find that it is very difficult for us to penetrate. But having said that, I will end by saying that we as workers, workers leaders, have seen that whenever we go to talk to these workers, be it in the textile industry, be it in the nursing, the hospitals, they trust us. They know that what we are doing is supposed to help them. Other than where most of these programs are initiated by the employers. Because where the programs are initiated by the employers, the workers become a bit suspicious. And not just because they want to be suspicious, but because of past experience, where at the beginning, most of the employers would identify the workers who are HIV positive and fire them. So they are still very scared. But when the union brings in these activities, they tend to trust the union, because they know the union is fighting for their rights. I will end here, and thank you very much for listening.